My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am, as always, overjoyed to be with you today. So on today's podcast, the title of the podcast thus far is Resetisa, Settling and Finding Your Joy. So I am one of the, 50 million plus people in the world who listened to the story of Resetisa that went viral on TikTok on Valentine's Day or around Valentine's Day. And so we're a month and some change out from her story making rounds around the world. And in case you're not here on this story, if you've somehow missed it, she's been on Good Morning America and all kinds of places. She told the story of how during COVID, she married a man who ended up being a pathological liar. The name of her series was Who the Fuck Did I Marry? And within 50 parts, she told us the saga of falling in love with him, even having a child or getting pregnant at some point, and what it looks like, what happened to the dissolution of the relationship. And of course, when I heard that story, I heard the story of many of us, if not to that extent and to that level, but being in relationships with people who are less than what we deserve, really, really being in love with the fantasy of who that person could be, of what that relationship could get you or give you, and ignoring all the red flags. Well, one of the things that Risa talked about in her story is really wanting it to be her turn, really wanting it to be over. And this podcast is dedicated to those of us who have really yearned for love, not just for companionship's sake. It is human to want to be in partnership and want to be in relationship, whether or not it's romantic or platonic or just to have the family that you love, a family that makes you feel safe. But to the point of when you don't have it, that there is something that feels more broken or achy, or that yearning feels that is coming from a deeper place. And when that is coming from a deeper place, that is easier for smart, well-established, well-loved, you know, engaging, funny, incredible women to fall victim to this fantasy and trying to make it work. And so in today's podcast, I want to talk about not necessarily Resetisa's story, because there's been so many people who've talked about it at length and in depth. And she's also talked about her story, of course, as well. But I want to talk about what does it look like for us when we do settle? What does it look like when we are in love with the fantasy of what something could be? We're going to talk about the fear of being alone. I'm going to talk about what is it like when you are focus on what you hope a partner can give you versus how you can show up in those areas for yourself or find healthier versions of that. I'm going to talk about the impact of Tyler Perry and his some of his storytelling for those of us as well in these types of scenarios, and also the difference between heart knowledge and head knowledge when it comes to relationships. So if all that sounds interesting to you, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Attention to all my proud plant parents. It is time to give all of your plant babies the best nutrition you can, starting from the bottom up. And that starts with the best soil to help them grow happy, nourished, and strong. Hosted Maine is an organic soil brand that is approved for organic growing and has been sourced from ocean waters and farms for over 28 years. With a full range of products that support every garden and lawn, Hosted Maine products are made to restore roots to the natural world. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, By adding Costa Maine products, it will help regenerate the healthy microbes in your soil and set you up for gardening success. And if you have a vegetable garden, not only do you benefit via an abundant harvest, but find that there is less need to maintain and feed throughout your season. Costa Maine continually perfects the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Costa Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by tons of local retail partners who can provide advice and insight that is not found in the big box stores. Costa Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community for gardeners everywhere, which is why I love how they make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com. So like I said at the top or in the intro, we're going to talk about a lot of these things that I think led into, or things that Risa Tisa said herself that led into this connection. And from here on out, I'm most likely going to be talking about just us who struggle with being love addicts or acting as love addicts if we're primarily love avoidant. But whenever we get into a romantic partnership with certain types of folks, it brings out this need that it's so hard for us to let go of them. That is very easy for us to become trauma bonded to them. It's very hard for us to lose contact. All the ways that we make other people really work hard for us or make it harder for them to get to know us, that we immediately let this person in because of the hope of what it could be. So I want to talk about some of the reasons why that happens and to also offer some grace and some encouragement around this, because I think when you're in this situation, it is very, very embarrassing. It is very, very embarrassing, because if you are the woman who has always had your stuff together, if you're the woman who's also been doing your own self-work, even though you have been going to therapy, you've been reading the books, you've been journaling, you've been praying, you have been taking time off for yourself, you've been investing in your relationships and hobbies, and these are still the types of things that are happening to you, it can feel very, very disorienting. And all of those really, those negative beliefs that you're doing all this work to try to heal, that fear that maybe there is something fatally flawed with you, that there is something wrong with you, that there's something that you're missing that's showing that you're not enough, which is why you're not getting the types of relationships or love that you want. And that is what is happening. When these types of things happen to you or happen around you, it just reinforces that that must be true. And that that little nagging voice actually becomes louder and louder. And so this fear of being alone, I think for many of us, is fear that our deepest beliefs are actually true. That for some of us, the boogeyman in the corner is not a fear of the dark or even a fear of death. It is that fear of being alone, because if that's true, that means that the people that rejected me in the past, it means the people who've abandoned me in the past, it means this deep judgment that I've had that there is something wrong with me or that there's something missing, that has to be the only thing that's left. It has to be the only thing that's real. Or maybe there are parts of us or many of us who do feel like that we are enough, but we have grown up with that there's not enough love to go around. And so we're so used to settling. We're so used to taking kind of the crumbs energetically of what folks can give us, whether or not it is folks in our family system, taking whatever attention mom, dad, sister, brother gives us, taking half-hearted attempts from fake friends, and also taking half-hearted attempts in romantic partnerships as well, and feeling sad that you can't just feel satisfied with what's been given to you. Maybe you've tried your best to try to take what's been given to you and try to make magic out of it and make it work, but you still feel the longing on the other side of it, because there's parts of you that know that you deserve so much more, that you're worth so much more, but it feels out of your reach. And so when I talk to women who talk about this fear of being alone, what I hear is not just that they are not busy enough. Anytime I talk to y'all, the audience, my clients, whoever, even talk to myself about creating a life that you love and making it based on pleasure and joy, I really try hard to add other information and buffer and cushion around this to let you know that this is not about you running from these feelings that you have. This is not about you trying to create so much so many distractions in your life that you will lose track of what is going on underneath. Because when we are just creating distractions, we're not getting at the root. That's why we can have those of us who are super busy, have great careers, have a whole lot of friends, have so much stuff going for us. We have a really great full life. And then when we get into a connection, we get into a connection with someone who seems so far below everything that we've ever wanted. Or even if they are status-wise what we want, maybe energetically, emotionally, spiritually, they are not giving us what we have always wanted and desired, but it looks good on paper. And so what we're getting in our romantic partnerships does not match this beautiful life that we've painted on the outside. And that's because the root of this, maybe the root of some of the busyness that we've created and some of the distractions that we've created, is so that when we do not have as much time to be alone with those feelings that tell us, those fears, those whispering voices that tell us that love is not available for us, that love is not for someone like us, that love is not for someone like us until we earn it in this way or until we change or transform in this way. And that is a very crippling fear and voice and feeling. That is the type of feeling that will make you ache and be in fetal position and really not know how to get out of it. It's a very dark place to be. And depending on who you talk to about it, you can have some people who might, and they feel like in love, but kind of chastise you and say, girl, you just have to really believe in yourself and love yourself and you know, create the life that you love and don't depend on no man if you're attracted to men, or don't depend on no woman, don't depend on anybody else. You are the one who matters the most. And they don't understand that for you, you weren't taught that you were deserving of love from day one. You weren't given full love from day one. So this concept of being fully loved, fully seen, fully adored is foreign to you outside of romantic partnerships. For you, what you saw in movies, what you saw in your girlfriend who had this really great relationship with the man down the street, what you saw on The Cosby Show, what you saw in all these different places were your access to love. And so for you, this isn't like you're just being spoiled or you're being unsatisfied or ungrateful with your life. There is a part of your human need to be cared for, learned, deserved, adorned, that was not given to you. And so romantic partnerships is that last window. It is and truly is that last missing piece, because you've been trying to get access to it yourself and you haven't been able to have it. And so the fear of being alone, yes, is about partnership. And for those of us who want to have children, those of us who want to have a family that includes a partner and or children, for those of us who want to build a legacy, however that looks, whether or not it's y'all traveling the world or y'all, you know, living in the same cul-de-sac forever and ever, or whether or not it's you, you know, being in the community together, you have a dream, you have a purpose that you want to have fulfilled to completion. It's not immature. It is not wrong. And so not being able to hold that means so many other different things to you. And for those who have not been in that place or don't have that type of trauma, who've not had that type of emotional neglect, you can have this type of feeling, by the way, for those of you who are joining me for the first time. If you had both parents in the home, if y'all were financially stable, if you had everything that you were supposed to have. I mean, I mentioned The Cosby Show. So whatever The Cosby Show, whatever your version of Black sitcom in the 90s and 2000s was your family system, whether or not it was Family Matters or Half and Half or My Wife and Kids, The Parkers, whoever it is that you attuned to, whoever showed you Moesha, Fresh Prince, Martin, of course, you know, well, Martin, they didn't have kids in the family, but you know what I mean. My Brother and Me, That's So Raven. You can have any of those families that the structure is there, the provision is there. But if emotionally you didn't have someone, again, who turned to you and saw you for who you are versus who you wanted them to be, who they wanted you to be, who didn't see you as a burden, who enjoyed spending time with you, who had the energy to spend time with you. Some of you had parents and caregivers who deeply loved you, but because maybe they were immigrants in this country, or they were going through their own mental health issues or addictions or incarcerations or whatever it may be, they did their very, very best And there was still some trauma of emotional neglect there because they had their own trauma that they were dealing with and that they were not able to show up fully for you in this way. So you can still feel this deep ache of not feeling enough and not feeling seen or not feeling loved and not feeling safe in your body and in your heart, even when you have all the things that you are supposed to have on paper, which I think a lot of folks who that is their experience, they may struggle a lot with, why do I feel this way? I don't have a right to feel this way. My parents gave me everything. I had everything. And so that's not the case for you. Emotional needs, emotional nurturance and care is just as important as everything else. It's also a factor for safety, but you can have that, or you can have these feelings, even if you had everything that you're supposed to have on paper, but you need that. You need to feel that sense of safety. So that's why when we are just building a life that's based in busyness, versus that we're doing it from a place of genuine self-love and connection, then the output, that what happens on the other side of that is so much heavier. It has so much more dire consequences. So if I'm doing all this stuff and I'm doing all this work and I'm doing all these things that are supposedly supposed to help me be more worthy of romantic love, and whether or not people will say it that way, that's what a lot of messaging says. You know, you have to get to this nirvana level of healing and be just so perfect and so feminine and so unbothered and so totally not consumed with relationships and not even care. You got to get to this certain place and then you'll be worthy of relationships. And so once you get to where you think that place is, or a place that's similar, and you try your hand at love again, and it ends up in this really horrible relationship, the consequences of that is not that, oh, this person is bad. It's that, oh, well, what was wrong with me to where this is the best that I could get? What was it that I have done that is wrong? And also when you're coming from a place of brokenness and or at least a place where you're not very clear on your own worth, which I'll talk about more when we get to head knowledge versus heart knowledge. If I'm coming from a place of trying to earn love or distract myself, then I'm going to be more likely to match with someone who matches that same level of effort and energy in how they see me. And it's also going to be harder for me to take my time because I'm just so ready for it to be my turn, because I've put in all of this great work, because this is my prize at the end of the day. In fact, when women first start working with me, especially when they start to create all these changes and everything, this is usually one of the most, I don't want to say dangerous, but definitely one of the most tentative parts of the journey, because they see all this transformation, they're feeling better and they're feeling more confident, and they meet someone. They always meet someone. It's either someone that there's already been around or a new person, and it feels shiny and it feels brand new. And so it's very, very hard for me to get my clients at that point to slow down, because this is what they wanted this whole time, right? They started working with me to break these patterns, to break these cycles. And so now not only are they feeling more hopeful and light and free than they've felt in years, if ever, now they're starting to get a whole lot of different results with the people around them. But there's still a skill set of you learning how to discern who's a wolf and who's not around you that is still very brand new, if existing at all. And so, yes, you are feeling more confident. Yes, you are doing all these great things. Yes, you are feeling like sunshine. But do you know how to pause, take a breath, and understand that healthy relationships and healthy partnerships are not a once in a lifetime thing for someone like you, for someone who's as amazing and as beautiful and as precious and as talented and fun and all those things? You get to have the gift of taking your time and letting yourself get to know someone and letting someone work for you, letting someone prove their consistency with you. And with love addicts who are known for falling in love with love and falling in love with the fantasy of who someone could be, even in their healthier states, there's still need for discernment and need for accountability and a need for support, because there are probably things that you still don't know that you don't know. And so when you are operating from a place of, I have been in thirst for so long, I've been in thirst, and not in the way that people, you know, talk about being thirsty in the derogatory way. That's not what I mean. I mean that deep rich, soothing, caressing love that I talked about that we have always all deserved. And you've gone your whole life just being very parched of it and giving other people that type of love and just wondering when it's your turn. When someone finally hands you a cup and the cup looks all gold on the outside, you miss that it might be a little bit tarnished on the inside. You miss that the cup is kind of, you know, it's not all the way full to the top. It's halfway, but hey, I'll take it. It's a gold glittering cup with some water in it. I'm going to take it. And I really, really, really want to help everyone who's ever been in this situation or anyone who's reflecting back on it, like, yeah, that is what happened. I had someone who was almost there and I got very excited and I made some decisions. Just know that you're not alone, that this is very common and this is just part of your learning process. Unfortunately, what sometimes happens is also one of the things that Risa Tisa said is that it can really make you feel as if you don't want to trust anyone again, because here you are, you're doing all the right things and you came out ready and willing and you offered your heart on the platter and you made yourself available only to get burned, not just in the ways that you did before, but maybe even more so because you laid more of yourself out on the line because you made yourself more available. And so making you want to clam up, making you not want to trust folks ever again. And the problem is not people. It is your ability to pause, look at what's being provided to you, and more accurately assess what it is. And all the places that you are thirsty, all the places that you are yearning, all the places that you have that pain, we got to treat that in a different way and understand that romantic love, when it's done right, for those of you who have been or you are in deep, healthy relationships with people who are securely attached and who are fully available to you and love you, you know that that type of love heals you in a whole totally different way that you can't even anticipate. To be able to really rest in being seen and protected and provided for, and to know that that's consistent and that you don't have to do anything other than just be and exist, that is a gift. And that still comes with its own set of growth. It still comes with you still knowing your worth and you using your voice and knowing what you deserve and asking for it, if not demanding it. But the way that you demand it isn't coming from the place of wounding like before. You know, I will sometimes have clients when they start dating, they will, and if anyone's listening to this and thinking, hey, that's me. Yeah, because this is very common. And I'm not thinking of any one person. This is literally a pattern that I see a lot, that either people will come out and when they're dating, they're super passive and they're like, I don't really know what to ask for and I don't really know what to say. And, you know, I'm different now, but I'm afraid of being too much. So how do I show my confident self? Like that's one extreme. And then the other extreme is, look, here's my list of requirements on date one. Like you haven't even had the mozzarella sticks come to the table and you are a drill sergeant at the table. And you know, that might be a great approach for some, but I am into, if we're trying to learn how to slow down, and if we're trying to learn how to learn to pick people that you actually truly enjoy, people that you don't just enjoy what they can give you, you don't enjoy that they're pretty, you don't enjoy that they are charming, that you don't enjoy what their bank account says and what your status says, but can you actually rock with this person? Are the vibes that you're feeling actually potential trauma bonds, or is a genuine friendship that you can grow and build on? Can we start there? Can we start there and see the vibes, see how someone is, and then ask strategic questions as you have this conversation with them and take note of the red flag? Y'all have heard me say a million, jillion times, people are always going to show you who they are from the very beginning. You can come with a list of 10 questions that you want to ask them. I do suggest that you have some things that are top of mind, but even just in genuine conversation with people or general conversation with people and asking them about their family and their friends and stuff like that, people are always going to tell them themselves, even when they're showboating. And especially if you have a certain set of patterns when it comes to folks that you keep attracting or being attracted to the same type of person, you just have to learn, okay, these are the types of qualities that I'm falling for. These are the ones that end up duping me in the end. So how can I be more aware of these at the beginning? What are the questions that I'm asking? What is it that these types of personalities give me that makes me so susceptible to them? What is it? What is this sense of security that I have access to when I'm around them? One of the things that Risa said in her story that really stuck out to me that I don't think anyone really talked about in this way is she talked about how for her, the fact that he was paying bills was an indicator that she could trust him and move forward. And I think in the last couple of years with the resurgence, either resurgence or the trendingness of feminine energy teachers, which I know has been around forever, but a lot of the popularity as Black women, we're reclaiming our right to rest and our right to not have to be strong all the time and our right to be seen as deserving of love, that we are women, that we are deserving of being treasured and taken care of, and that we don't have to and we don't want to always have to take care of everybody else, you know? So there's a lot of feminine energy teachers and education that has really helped so many of us. I've been very clear that has helped me heal from all this overworking and overstressing. And at the same time, one of the tenets that I hear often in this teaching is that the way that you know that someone cares about you and that they are a provider or a high value man, depending on whoever it is that you are talking to, is whether or not they are paying for everything, whether or not they're flying you out, whether or not they're paying for bills, whether or not whatever, whatever, whatever. And those of us who have experience with this, we know that a wealthy man is just that. That money don't mean nothing. Now, you can be with someone who is very wealthy and super selfish and super narcissistic and super abusive and super overattached to his mother and super lazy and super just going to use you and flake out. And even though he's tricking on you and spending all this money on you, and that you can also be with someone who's a super wealthy man who really does truly love you and care for you, but there's real problems with compatibility there, that the ways that your values match up, they don't quite align, that there are some things that you want, but that he doesn't want. And so if you're not careful, if the need that you are trying to attach to is financial stability, that if I'm going to be with a partner, that this is going to be my access to being financially stable and being able to rest in everything, you are going to miss out on all the other things that come along with it, all the other red flags that are there, because you've been told that this one marker is a sign for safety when it's just one of many.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
As our country continues to grow and make new meaning of the intersection between current and historical events, it is so important to stay connected to the voices and the leaders who are influencing what progress, connection, equality, and truth mean to us as Black people. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection from some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, how would you spend it? Would you find a way to spend it taking care of others, or would you do what can be the hardest thing for us to do sometimes, which is invest it in ourselves? Therapy is one of the best ways you can practice self-care with a healer that gets it. As both a therapist and someone who regularly attends sessions with her own healer, I know full well how vital a connection with a trusted professional is to help you on your way. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BGH today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BGH.
So for Risa, this is what I make up. She never said this. She talked about how she had her own townhouse, her own, you know, she had her own job and everything else. But I did get the sense of having him pay for her bills, let her know that she could exhale. In fact, I do think that she said that in one of the parts, that she felt like, if not one of the parts, but in the live that she did afterwards, after the series went out, where she was answering questions, that she felt like she could finally just relax because she has someone there. She had a partner, right? And how many of us have either said or heard somebody else or watched other people talk about just wanting to have a partner, just being so tired of doing this all on our own, right? And all on our own can mean so many different things. It can mean financially, but it can also be emotionally, having to live this life on your own, having to live this life spiritually on your own, living this life physically on your own, socially on your own, you know, sexually on your own, right? That should have been one of the first ones I said, depending on your connection to your body and sex and sexual pleasure. And if you feel like you are attuned to yourself and your body, or if the only time you get comfort and cuddles and affection and orgasms is with somebody else, right? Like, there are so many different ways that this can present for us. So we have to be mindful of what we are asking from our partners. This is not, again, the two extremes that people try to go to is either they go all the way in or all the way out. So I can speak for myself that sometimes, especially early on in my healing, when people would talk about like negative qualities that were more categorized to all the way in, I would try to cut out the need altogether. So when people would talk about codependency symptoms, like being generous or being empathic and everything, and how codependency is just taking those qualities, which are good and healthy, being empathic, being generous, being sympathetic toward people, really trying to give people a benefit of the doubt. You take these qualities that is healthy for you to have, and you go to the extreme of there's no boundaries to this, and you give it to everyone, and you give it to people who are super dangerous for you. I would think, okay, well, if that's what's unhealthy, then that means I got to cut it out altogether. So that means maybe I need to be more unfeeling when people are needing things, and I need to just be more blunt when it comes to saying no, and that I shouldn't care, and I should care more about myself, because if I really loved myself, then who cares what other people think about me? What other people think about me, and if I have any type of emotion otherwise, and that means that I don't love myself. And girl, there's such a thing as being in the middle. We can hold two different truths at the same time. I can hold the truth that I can be loving and generous and giving, and the standard that because of my own love for myself, that I do not give to a place of deficit, that I don't abandon my own needs for the sake of other folks, and that I can hold them and I can hold their needs and know that I don't need to save them, that I can trust that the people in front of me are able of saving themselves, and that they can tolerate the distress, that their distress does not have to equal to my own, that because they are in distress does not mean that I'm a bad, selfish person because I'm not dropping everything and putting myself in mental, emotional, financial danger to come and save them, right? And so that was the lesson I had to learn. So for this, if you've heard anything that I've mentioned today, but so far, or if it sparked anything in your mind that's like, yeah, whenever I'm around certain types of partners, the common quality that I've noticed is that these types of men or these types of women give me this. They give me this sense of security. They give me this access to loving myself. They give me access to whatever it may be. The goal is not for you to say, okay, well, I'm going to not need that at all. No, because then you go into deprivation, and those needs still resurface. The goal of your healing as a healed and loved woman is not to live in deprivation and avoidance, and it's not also to live in overindulgence and love addiction. It is to live in a balanced place to where you can own, these are the things that I require, and these are the things that I need from a partner, and I'm fully able to not only give it to myself, but to know that I'm worthy of it, and that I'm still gaining access to it, either from my own internal sense of grounding from my own spiritual sources, from my own chosen family, but I'm not living my life saying, well, I can't have this until this person comes, so that when they start to kind of dangle that metaphorical carrot in front of me, I'm quick to jump. Right. And so, again, just to give you a couple more examples, it can look like so many things. If you have a very boring life, you can really fall for people who are really funny and really engaging. And if you have a desire to do more and to explore and so you have these big dreams that you are having a hard time having access to, when you meet people who are ambitious, when you meet people who are building their own, when you meet people who are entrepreneurial, it may be a lot easier for you to attach to these people and ignore all the other red flags that come from it, because you are getting access to something that you are not embracing for yourself. You see the parts of yourself that you're disowning, that you have counted yourself out of, that have felt out of reach, that you feel undeserving of. And so you're trying to get it from these other people instead of giving it to yourself. Now let's talk about the impact of Tyler Perry and his storytelling, and where I kind of saw some connections to Risa Tisa's story. So I'm going to say this, and this was true when Tyler Perry first started his empire, which is so impressive. And, you know, kudos to him and what he has built. I mean, I feel like kudos is not even a big enough word for the incredible empire that he has built and successes that he has had. And all the accomplishments that he has had too, as a writer and a producer and a director, no matter your opinion of him, even though you could probably tell I'm going to give a criticism right now, he deserves all the roses that he can have in this area. But in regards to this, I remember when Tyler Perry was first starting out, or at least in the movie realm, because I remember going to his plays and watching his plays and then, you know, branching out into movies, of course. But I remember when he was doing a lot of interviews at the very beginning and saying things that he still says to this day about how women need to look at the heart of a man. And if a man is not making a certain amount of money, but he has a good heart and he's loyal and he's whatever else, that's all that really matters. And so I remember, I mean, how many years ago is this now? What, 20 years plus ago? I remember watching that and hearing other people dissent and say, like, that's not true, whatever, and being like, you know what? Y'all are really going to miss out on your blessing. I remember being a very young woman and saying, I think that's absolutely true. I think that money does not make a person. And if they make slightly less than you, like, I just couldn't think of, or a lot less than you, I just couldn't really fathom why that would be a red flag from someone. You know, it just seemed really nonsensical to me. And so that, I'm not going to say that that caused it, but I would say that that line of thinking and those types of messages reinforced messaging that was already there about what type of love I deserved as a young woman, as far as being protected and being provided for and what I could expect from partners, which made it a lot easier that if not in this area, in other areas very early on, that I did not have a lot of requirements for partners because I could take care of myself. Y'all, I've been taking care of myself. I remember having my first independent thought of, you're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to make sure that I don't need anything from you. In my family of origin, I remember having that first thought at 6 years old, clear as day, which is what, first grade. I know that that was a vow that I made and I lived by it. And so being in partnerships, whatever I got, if I got anything, it was kind of extra. I really didn't have that many expectations, which led the path for, as I grew up into my adulthood and had more serious relationships and more serious partners, that was still a belief system that I had until I started to, as the professional oldest child, first oldest daughter, you know, all the stereotypes that come along with that, with the other things I've already said, getting into relationships with folks that I ended up needing to mother in some ways, and not seeing that as a red flag, not seeing that what they were able to provide and do for me was not just about money. So that's the main thing I want to say is I think right now there's a lot of conversations that speak a lot about a certain income level being an indicator, being something that equates to a man's integrity or who he is. And what I will say is how they show up in their life financially is an indicator for how they show up in every other corner of their life. If you are with someone who is constantly on the cusp of being able to have a breakthrough, constantly on the cusp of their business coming through, constantly on the cusp of getting a new job, constantly on the cusp of this brand new horizon coming, but it never comes. If they have a story that there is always somebody else's fault, that when it comes to actually showing up and helping, that they are not the first one to initiate helping you in every area that they can, that they do not see your discomfort, emotional, physical, mental, financial, spiritual discomfort as deeply troubling to them that they want to fix it. If these are not qualities that come from this person, no matter what their income level, then that is a red flag because that is showing you who this person is in their relationship and who they're going to be in relationship to you. I do know women who are in partnerships with partners who make less than them, but the way that these men show up for them and the way that these men champion them and really continue to provide and protect and love on these women and treat these women as a prize is inspirational, right? Versus them feeling resentful of it, versus them feeling disempowered of it. And I think what happens with a lot of going back to why I mentioned Tyler Perry specifically is a lot of the men in the storytelling that happens, and even the viral clip from the end of last year or sometime last year, where he said in 2023 or 2024, if a man only has enough money for a light bill, then that is enough, really totally discounts the amount of emotional labor that comes into having a relationship. And so for women, for us to feel safe in a partnership, it's not just someone being in the house with us. It's not just a body next to us. I need to know that you are covering me and that you're taking care of me in all of these different facets of my life for me to feel safe, for me to unfold, for me to step out of being mother, provider, boss role to actually being partner with you. And it doesn't have to, again, I really am trying to emphasize that this is not about a number amount, it's about the energy. Let me give you another example. There is a viral clip right now at the time that I'm recording this of this man who is saying, you know what, ladies, there's not enough men out here. Some of y'all are going to have to settle. You know, some of y'all, you know, are going to have to end up paying all the bills or doing 60-40 or 80-20. And, you know, because some of us were in jail or we're this or we're that, and there's not enough of us. So it's better to do that than to be single. And quiet as it's kept, actually, there's so much joy in being single. There's so much joy in being single and being free of someone who is robbing you of your energy and draining you emotionally and mentally and sexually and spiritually. And you are feeling overworked and overburdened, and you still have to continue to give and give them the benefit of the doubt because of the level of commitment that you've had to them. Because that you've attached to this fantasy of what could be if you just hold on a little bit longer. If those things that you know aren't quite true, if you just kind of hold on, like you know they're being dishonest about something, you know that something isn't quite clicking, but you've already attached to who this person or who this relationship could be, and y'all are so close to it, and you've probably already had a whole lot of fights with other people in your life about who this person is. You may have already defended them. You may have had to defend them to yourself. You may have had to defend them maybe even to your pastor. And so you're going to stay attached to this person and fight tooth and nail for this thing and not realize that this thing was probably broken from the beginning. I'm bringing these two examples up because this is not common knowledge for many of us, unfortunately. I said that for me, in my early adulthood, these are all lessons that I had to learn what I was worth. I had to learn what happens when you sacrifice and you abandon yourself for the fantasy of what something could be. I had to learn how crippling that was. I had to learn how demoralizing that was. I had to learn how embarrassing that was. And I had to learn that the consequences were not as simple as where you just break up and you start again, that you actually lose parts of yourself that you have to rebuild. And the earlier version of me, of young Sheena, who had not had healthy examples of love and of connection, she would hear stories like what was being told to her by, Tyler Perry-ish movies earlier. And she might have even watched the video that's going around right now, this man saying, you know what, there's not a lot of us out there. Some of you are going to have to settle because a man with a good heart is who maybe makes less than you is better than no man at all. And because I needed to have that romantic partnership and connection because of what it gave me access to at that point in my life, or what I thought it would give me access to, I was willing to do that. I totally believe that. And it was hard for me to have any concept otherwise. And so in episode 114, I talk about financial complacency and financial abandonment being a red flag. And I go more into how this isn't about numbers, that a lot of messaging is that people will say that a man has a good heart, but he doesn't make a lot of money. And what I really am trying to emphasize is that some people are calling a good heart just a man existing, or just using the words that he's a good guy or that he has a good heart. But the way that he shows up towards you, the way he shows up towards other people in his life, the way he shows up towards his own emotional maturity and his own sense of self-worth and way his own personal ambition and his own values is not very good. It's not very noble. But again, if we have not been hip to what a man of good integrity, moral character, who's about his word and his business, who's faithful in more than one way, if we're not really attuned to that, if we don't have examples for that, we are more likely to take someone at their word that they're a good guy when they are not even a wolf in sheep's clothing, that they are very much, very much clear on who they are. But we are attached to the promise that, wow, I can have this really great man, and not really knowing what the qualifiers for that greatness should look like for our own personal life. I'm sharing this for those of you who this is new information for you, that whatever age you're at, 20, 30, 40, 50, because our good sis Risa was in her 30s, right? Like there's no, a professional woman in her 30s. There's no, until we get someone to help us break these cycles and to help interrupt our thinking patterns and let us know that there is something more and something different and something bigger outside that is actually available for something like us, for someone like us, then we're going to continue to either consciously or subconsciously live by these stories and take one of the first things that are available to us and try to make it work. Try to make bologna into steak. And maybe the truth is you don't have to eat bologna. Maybe you can go and either get some steak on your own or go and get some pork chops or just, you know, live a life that's built with actually you feeling sustained and you feeling full and you feeling comfortable without dealing with the scraps that are out there. And so if there are any relationships that you are currently or have been in the past attached to, this is your time to break that cycle. There are so many women that I work with who have been doing this good work for a long time, and they will go through these seasons, like I said, of self-development work, and they'll do all the right things, and they'll binge this podcast and other ones. They may be going to therapy. They may be doing all these other things and just spending time on their own in a self-love detox. And then when they start to date again, these same patterns re-emerge. And it's because of the two things that I mention all the time and that I talked about in this episode. It is one, there are deep negative thoughts and beliefs that you have that are still controlling your operating system. Just think about, you know, computers or coding and that kind of thing. You know, there's language that's written into your wiring system that makes you, without even being conscious of it, makes you either act or underreact in certain ways and take relationships that are less than you deserve. So we got to get at those root thoughts. Otherwise, those are going to continue to control you. And then the second thing is that there is a real skill set that you just knowing your trauma patterns and you just knowing what has happened before. You know how your what happened with your daddy made you feel, and you know what happened with your granny, how that made you feel, and you know that your mother wounds exist. That does not equate to you actually changing your patterns. You've been doing these certain things for 10, 20, 30 years, some of you. And so you actually have to learn a whole new way of operating in relationships, operating yourself, and practice it. Practice it in the same ways that when you're learning how to ride a bike, you don't just jump straight into a bike, that a lot of times you have training wheels. And if you are learning as an adult how to ride a bike, you got somebody next to you, you got your hands on those brakes, you ready, right? Like you have some way for you to help stop yourself as you're riding, as you're turning, as you're learning how to rebalance. And you don't just expect yourself because you watched a couple YouTube videos and read a lot of books about riding a bike that you know how to ride a bike. You actually have to practice a skill set and fine tune it and get help with it, right? Get pointers with it for where you need to have it. So there's no way that I would have been able to heal my intimacy disorder, even though I had a very real degree in marriage and family therapy, and I was helping other people every week, and I had tons of friends who were also therapists themselves. There's no way, so people I could confide in and talk to as well, right? I had to literally unlearn all these things and rebuild myself. And so that's what those are, exact skill sets that I teach in all my programs and all the things that I invite y'all to, because I know that just listening is not enough. So the next opportunity for you to join in with me is our No Contact and Letting Go workshop, which is on Tuesday, April 16th. Let me pause and make sure that's the right. Yes, it's Tuesday, April 16th at 6:30 p.m. CST, where I'm going to be talking about all the things that I've already talked about here tonight, but I'm also going to be talking about how to use the no contact process for trauma bonded relationships. We're going to talk about making space for healthy love. We're going to talk about determining if the relationship that you're in now is helping or hindering. And we're going to talk about moving towards having a great partner, even when it's hard. If you're someone who's already in a partnership with someone and you feel that your stuff from the past has been affecting how you want to show up in this relationship and is making it hard for you to be available to this person and to trust them and to love them and to let them see how much you love them back, this is going to be the workshop for you as well, because we're going to be talking about letting go of multiple things, multiple roadblocks that are getting in the way. If you're not able to join live, as always, you will be able to submit your questions ahead of time for me to answer during our session, and you can watch the replay and you'll have access to the replay and everything for you to take a deep dive in. Okay. So you can join by going to blackgirlsheal.org/workshop. blackgirlsheal.org/workshop. And I am so looking forward to this time together. And this was actually going to be the last workshop in our winter workshop series, our bundle, but I decided to reschedule it. Sorry, what are words? I decided to reschedule it for April so that we can just have more time to meet and get together, and also to do it on a weeknight, in hopes that that also helps those who weren't able to attend our Saturday workshops as well. So again, blackgirlsheal.org/workshop, and I look forward to seeing you there. For those of you who are super gung-ho about joining, I'm going to give you a $50 coupon for your registration for being an early bird. So you can put in the promo code EARLYBIRD at checkout, and that will be available for that $50 off coupon from now through March 31st, which is on Sunday, March 31st. So again, blackgirlsheal.org/workshop. And I look forward to seeing you all there. So that's it for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you found it helpful. Please share it with someone who you feel may need it and may benefit from it. And I look forward to seeing you in the next one. That's it for now. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.